September sky, watching as clouds whip by. We confess everything to each other.
Hey everyone, welcome to Adventure Retired, the podcast where retired people show what they're doing in their retirement to help inspire you to live your best retired life. We are Kurt and Cindy Lilgedahl, your hosts, and today we're going to talk to
Jason. Jason's been climbing some mountains in his retirement, and it sounds fascinating.
That would be a wonderful goal.
Yeah, getting high in retirement.
Well, just, you know, that's a huge physical goal, and a lot of people might not be able to do that.
Yeah, but he is, so yeah, I'm proud of him.
That's great. Loving my coffee.
Yep, Sand and Sea Coffee and Tea. We appreciate it. If you'd reach out on our website, click on it, you get 10% off. Cindy's loving it. I'm doing a little tea with it.
And It's good stuff.
It really is.
First, a life lesson for Kurt's book, Fix the Problem, and Other Life Lessons from a Pragmatic Dad.
This one I learned, especially when we moved from Texas. We'd been down there 30 years, and now we live in Iowa. You need to dress in layers.
Yeah, that's important.
It is. It is. You got to dress in layers. Have an outer layer that may be waterproof. Multi-layers underneath, like fleece, wool, socks, stuff like that. So you can take them off.
Especially like traveling. It's nice to have layers, and then you don't have to take a big bulky coat. If you have like a sweatshirt and a long sleeve shirt and a short sleeve t-shirt, you can layer.
Yeah, if you layer, you can stay warm, and you can always take off clothes. You can't add them if you don't have them. So,
All right,
let's get on to the show. Today, we're talking to Jason Lee about his mountain climbing adventures in retirement. Jason, are you there?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good afternoon.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, it's always fun to talk to somebody who does a great adventure. And I have to tell you, I've always wanted to be able to say I've summited a mountain, and I have not done that yet.
Yeah, you've been climbing quite a few mountains in retirement, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I try to get out as much as I can.
That's great.
It's great to get out there.
Yeah, we're excited to hear about it.
Yeah. We always ask two questions to start at. When you were working for a living, what did you do?
Well, I started out at when I was 18, I joined the Navy.
Okay.
I did that for 24 years, and I retired from that in 2017.
Nice.
And then I went to work as a Navy contractor in upstate New York.
Okay.
Around 2019, I took a transfer back to my home state of Idaho, to the Idaho National Laboratory here, and that's what I did until I quit my job in 2022.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're just newly retired.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I did it at the ripe age of 47.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah, you beat us.
Yeah, we were 54 and we thought we were young, but, you know, with a government pension, that helps, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. My wife also is retired from the Navy as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Great.
Got two of them.
It's so wonderful when you can retire together. We retired on the same day, and it was just so nice to have that opportunity.
Yeah, she was lucky to be able to retire at 38 and not have to work again. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, you're still young enough, like, let's just say
Most people are having kids then.
Yeah, well, or you could just, in a few years, if you want to do something else or you want to try something, you can, and you still have lots of time, you know? I mean, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I still volunteer. I do search and rescue for the county here.
Oh,
and,
great.
So I keep busy doing that as well.
Oh, okay, well, that's why we're talking to you today, because you've been climbing quite a few mountains. And do you climb them all there in Idaho, or do you get out to other states?
The most I've done are in Idaho. I've also ventured out to Wyoming quite a bit. Actually, my first peak that I climbed was actually in Wyoming.
Okay.
And I'm very close to the border, so kind of makes sense. We're real close to the Tetons, and so the first mountain I climbed was Table Mountain, and it has an awesome view of the Grand Teton. It was just amazing.
Yeah,
that just sounds beautiful. Yeah.
And so I was hooked after that one.
How tall was that summit? Do you remember?
That one's over 11,000 feet.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And what is the tallest you've ever climbed?
The tallest one I've ever climbed was Mount Bora here in Idaho. It's the tallest peak in Idaho at 12,666 feet.
Okay.
But officially, I've climbed higher than that. I just didn't make the summit of the Grand Teton.
Oh,
and that was, we turned around at about 13,400 feet. We were about 300 feet from the top.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Turn around.
Wow.
Yeah, due to falling ice and things like that, it was really nasty conditions. So we used our better judgment and turned around.
Yeah, and that's smart. You know, you don't want to put yourself into a situation where you can never climb again.
Yeah.
Exactly. That mountain will always be there.
That's right.
We were on a family vacation one time, and we wanted to climb Mount Elbert.
In Colorado.
In Colorado, which is the tallest mountain in the lower 48.
Uh-huh.
Our daughters were, I think, 13 and 9 at the time.
Yeah, probably.
And so we started out early, and it's a hike. I mean, it's definitely a hike. It's not technical climbing. But, man, we got up. We were above the tree line, and we were up around probably 13,000 somewhere. And I looked at my little daughter, and she's got these tears in her eyes. She goes, "Daddy, I got nothing left." I said, "All right, we turn around."
Well, and it was raining.
Yeah, yeah. Rain hit and everything.
I was like, I don't want to get struck by lightning, you know?
Right.
I really want to try doing a mountain. I think that is a huge accomplishment. Have you ever thought about doing some on the other continents?
Antarctica sounds really cool.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's one of the there's two continents that I haven't been to yet, South America and Antarctica. And so being able to summit on, you know, a peak in Antarctica would be pretty awesome.
Oh, it really would.
Like,
it
have really you would. Gone to Africa and summited or?
No, I haven't been to a peak in Africa, but I've been to Africa before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that great book called Seven Summits where a guy summits the highest mountain in each
continent.
And it's just awesome read if you ever get a chance to do it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Well, living there in Idaho, like what elevation are you at now?
We live at about 4,600 feet, roughly.
Yeah, you're about 3,000 above us.
Yeah, so it actually makes it kind of nice to, as far as being acclimated to getting up to elevation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a lot of the trick is if you're acclimated, if you're ready to go, or do you have to hang out at the mountain? Like when they climb Everest, you know, they go up and down, up and down, up and down, trying to acclimate. But that's like mountain climbing on steroids, I'm afraid.
Okay, I have some really, I think, good questions I have to ask about doing an activity or a journey like this. First of all, how do you plan for it? What do you do to get ready to go out and climb mountains?
So I have conditioning that I do. I have a stair climber that I try to use as much as I possibly can. I actually do sauna for heat exposure. And I also do cold plunging for cold exposure. So I noticed that after doing that, the conditions are less, they affect me a lot less.
Wow.
I just did a peak last week and I wasn't cold at all the entire time. And it was, you know, 15, 20 degrees the entire time.
Oh, wow.
And I was wet and I wasn't cold the entire day.
Wow.
So those are some things that I do.
I never ever thought about doing that type of training to get ready for something like that.
Cold plunging, you must be younger because that to me looks like it'd give me a heart attack. I mean, I never thought I could
do it. And then my little brother was doing it and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And it's just amazing.
How long do you stay in that cold water?
I usually do 3 to 4 minutes.
God. No.
Submerged all the way up to your head.
Oh, yep. All the way under.
Oh.
I mean, I'll dunk my head once.
Oh, man, Jason. Oh, wow.
No. You lost me on that one, buddy.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of.
But I tell you what, the mental toughness that you get out of it is just, it's the serotonin, the dopamine rush from it is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's the heart attack I'm worried about.
We have a hot tub. You know, we're in Iowa and it's wintertime here and we get in our hot tub and just that little jump from the house into the hot tub, you're just freezing cold and then it's so warm and I understand what you're saying, how then all of a sudden you just almost feel free because it's like, oh, that feels so good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about saunas. Have some of the mountains you've climbed been
during
warm?
The summer?
Because I know it gets colder as you go higher, but
it will get, the temperatures will get pretty hot in the summertime. Not like blazing hot, but when you're exerting yourself that much and it's, you know, 78, 80 degrees,
right?
It takes a lot out of you.
Wow.
Because you're just sweating. You're sweating like crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the heat can be a factor, especially in August around here.
Do you like carry a full pack then, like with your tent and all that? Do you guys stay out for a couple days?
Sometimes we do. The Grand Teton was a 3-day venture. And so there was a lot of gear packed for that, ropes and climbing gear and just tents and sleeping bags and food and bear canisters and all kinds of things we had to pack up the mountain.
Wow.
Or there's some that are just day hikes where it'll take me, you know, 5-6 hours to summit and get back to my vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just depends.
Do you usually do it by yourself?
I have 3 main climbers that I go with.
Okay.
One of them I go with the most. But over this past year, I've hiked and climbed with over 25 people. So
you found that many friends that want to do it, huh?
Yeah, I actually started 2 Facebook groups to get people together to go with.
Okay.
Because my wife is pretty persistent on me wanting to go with other people.
I would see that.
Yeah.
She doesn't like me going out by myself, no. Even though I do quite often. So I try to go out with people whenever I can.
Now, when you climb, do you use one of those GPS locators?
Oh, absolutely. The best, that is the best piece of gear that I can carry is the Garmin InReach.
Okay.
It is, it's for navigation. It's for regular communication. And it's also for emergency communication.
Okay.
Especially being, we use them for search and rescue too, to be able to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
There's no cell phone service or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that is the most important piece of equipment that I carry.
Okay.
You know, this podcast is geared towards people that are retired, and a lot of them are not your age. They're our age or older. But I really think that doing something like mountain climbing, you know, starting maybe with some 7,000, 8,000, you know, 10,000 foot peaks, you could do it, you know, at any age if you're in shape. What do you think is you know, a retired person, what is something that they should have other than the Garmin if they are going to start this as a hobby?
I think trekking poles are huge. Mm-hmm. Trekking poles, you know, the hiking sticks that you see people using. Those, they help you propel yourself uphill.
Okay.
And they also help you on your descent so that you have less impact on your body.
Right.
Once you get to learn how to use them correctly, it transfers a lot of the exertion to your upper body, so your lower body isn't as exerted.
Okay.
I think that's very important to use trekking poles.
Okay.
Yeah. Our first retirement adventure, we were 54, and we hiked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and then stayed a night and came up.
That was
and for me,
hard.
With a bad knee, going down was harder than going up, and my trekking poles I leaned on a lot, and it helped.
Yes, exactly.
You know, going down hurts the knees, going up hurts the lungs because you're breathing.
Uh-huh.
It worked out well.
Do you see that with when you're climbing? Do you feel like that lung pull about, I mean, just like I would walk uphill 10 steps and stop and breathe and then 10 more.
Yes.
You're probably in a lot better shape than that.
Probably.
I don't set any land speed records, but I do have a saying where, when you're going uphill, it's called cardio day. I call it cardio day.
Right.
When you're going downhill, it's called leg day.
Right.
All right. Cardio day is over. Now leg day begins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Now at the top of these, do they have, okay, I'm going to brag here. One time I climbed a 14,000 footer, Mount Antero in Colorado with a buddy of mine. And at the top, then you find a little log book somewhere and sign your name. Are these peaks? You have those?
Some of them do, some of them don't. We call them summit registers.
Okay.
And so I'd say probably half of them have them here in Idaho.
Okay.
And I've left my own I donated some to a lot of top of the mountain peaks that didn't have them. Okay. So I carry some blank ones that every now and then, a little container to keep it in, keep the notebook and the pencil in. So
yeah, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah,
people
it's neat
can
to know.
Record their ascents.
Yeah. Right.
Does your wife climb too?
No, she's fairly disabled from her time in the military. I am as well, but I'm able to overcome those disabilities, fortunately.
Well, thank you both for serving for our country. That's a huge, a huge thing.
That is. That really is.
Well, it was our pleasure.
Well, that's great.
So climbing mountains, which one was your most challenging and why was it the most challenging?
I would say Lost River Peak here in Idaho. It's a 12,000 footer. Okay. We did a snow climb. Snow climb with crampons, which are your ice spikes that go on your boots for ice and snow. And we were basically climbing greater than a 45 degree angle for a good portion of the mountain.
Wow.
And when you have these spikes on your feet, obviously your ankles take a huge beating because your ankles just want to go all over the place with the spikes digging in and things like that.
Right.
So it was a first big peak of the year as well. So that also made it more difficult. It was very cold. And every step just felt like I was going to tumble down the mountain.
Right. Yeah.
Because it was just so steep.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I went back and did that peak again a year later in the summer. And it was a piece of cake. It was really loose and gravelly, but much less intensive than it was in the snow.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
You probably had to have all like different equipment for that and a snow hike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ice axe, crampons, all that stuff. We didn't rope up. We didn't need ropes, fortunately, but it was just a huge obstacle to overcome.
Do you use a lot of ropes when you go out and do these mountains?
Not at a lot of the peaks that I do. Right now I'm working on a project to climb all of the peaks over 11,000 feet in Idaho.
And how many are there?
There's 133.
Wow.
And there's only one of those peaks that are technical.
Okay.
That have to be that you have to use ropes on.
Right.
All of the other peaks have non-technical routes.
Okay.
So most of my experience is just class 3, class 4 scrambling where you use your hands and your feet and you don't technically have to rope up.
Okay.
Sometimes a good idea, but it's not to that point where you have to rope up.
Right, right.
Wow.
Now, have you ever gone down, because I did it with my friend John when we climbed Antero. We glissaded, I think that's how they said it. Where you sit on your butt and you basically slide that down on your butt.
That is a blast. And I have a funny story about that too. Let's see. It was in November. Me and a buddy, we were climbing Little Diamond Peak and we were going to glissade down this gully, and he's ahead of me and he's glissading along. And next thing you know, he's in an avalanche.
Oh no.
He created an avalanche from glissading down this peak.
Oh.
And he is surfing on top of this avalanche before he's able to bail out of it to the side. And the snow just goes crashing down the mountain.
Wow.
And I'm just in awe of this, what just unfolded in front of me.
Right.
And luckily I wasn't below him when it happened.
Right.
Or, you know, and it could have been a lot worse for sure.
Oh, wow.
Luckily we weren't hurt, but it was a pretty good size avalanche. So definitely won't be doing that in those type of conditions again. Oh. It was really slabby snow and the slabs just let loose, and wouldn't have thought it would have happened in November in Idaho, you know.
Yeah.
It was just perfect conditions for an avalanche that day.
Wow. Do like when you're going up most of these mountains and you're doing your bouldering or whatever it is, are there clearly marked routes, or do you guys kind of just like aim and look and okay, let's go here?
That's the fun thing about
I'm doing all the 11,000 foot peaks in Idaho now. None of them really have any type of trail or anything like that. It is all just route finding, using your phone, GPS, doing the research ahead of time. It is all pretty much off trail, bushwhacking through the trees. It's just an adventure, and I love it.
Oh, man. That sounds good.
12,000 foot peaks in Idaho get climbed very often and have very good trails to the top. So they're kind of boring.
Yeah, right. Yeah, my buddy told me, because he climbs peaks in Colorado. He says every once in a while, or once or twice it's happened, you get up real high and there's clouds and the hairs on the back of his neck stand up from the static electricity. He said it's time to get down the mountain then. have you ever had anything similar to that?
I've never felt that, but I've been in a lightning storm before.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's just scary stuff.
That would
definitely
be scary. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was probably the worst weather I've ever been in, was that lightning storm, for sure. Okay.
And was it raining, or?
It was actually hail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There was probably an inch or two of hail on the ground by the time it was all said and done. And I was hunkered below a pine tree.
Yeah.
I was about 9,000 feet on my way up to an 11,000 footer, and I had to hunker down under a pine. Luckily, I was still below the tree line, and I waited it out as long as I could, and then it cleared and I booked it off the mountain, and the lightning striking all over. And that was pretty bad day that day.
Yeah, it was a good idea to leave.
Yeah, bail out. Yeah. Bail out while you can.
You mentioned that you sometimes have to travel with like a bear canister or whatever. Have you run into any wildlife while you're out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, in this last October, I ran into, there was three black bears, a sow and two cubs. And they were just trotting along the rocks at about 10,000 feet. And I'm like, wow, that is very out of place.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think they would be up that high, but yeah, they were.
What did they do when they saw you?
They didn't even, I was pretty far down. I was probably 1,000 feet below them.
Okay.
And so I just watched them. They didn't even really notice me. And they walked across the landscape and went on their way.
Good.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Got some good pictures and video. Pictures and videos of them. Yeah.
Now, do you have any plans to, I mean, one of my dreams used to be to climb Mount Everest. And the more I researched it, and then that time on Mount Elbert, you know, the lungs and everything like that, the dream went away, I guess, you know, with age. But do you have any goals of climbing other mountains higher or different countries?
Everest would be cool, but it's
crowded.
It's a big tourist trap now, unfortunately. And I would say if money was not an option, because it can run up, you know, 80 grand,
right.
80 to 100 grand to do that trip. If money wasn't an option, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
If somebody said, here's the money, I'd be like, okay, I'll go in May and go.
Yeah. We actually had a guest, a woman that was from out west, and I think Washington, and she climbed to base camp, you know, with her brother.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's, what'd she say, 10 days from the city to base camp, because they climbed up to it, and they loved it.
And base camp's, I think, 17,000.
Yeah, and she said it was just amazing, you know.
Yeah, that would be something pretty neat to do, too, just to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything I ever see on Mount Everest now is just like one person after another waiting in lines to climb.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get that at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's such a small window to summit. It's they got to pack as many in there as they can.
Oh, I guess.
Have you ever done training for, like, if you get in a technical situation, or you and your buddies, do you have the ropes? Do you have the everything that you need, or do you rent things depending on what climb you see you're doing?
We usually buy whatever gear we need, or I go with somebody who has the gear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Use their
gear. Then I do get some training through my being with search and rescue too. So we do rope training and things like that with search and rescue, rappelling and all that stuff. I have my own harness and things like that.
I was going to ask you about your side gig there of search and rescue. I just saw yesterday on the news they were rescued a dog that fell like into from a mountain. And you, how many trips have you been out on something like that?
I started last year, last March, I think is when I started. And I've been out on, I think, four or five calls.
Wow.
This past year.
And is it mostly people that have, you know, gotten hurt or lost? What is it? What, when do you get called out there?
One guy fell off of his horse and injured himself pretty badly. We had to wheel him out on a cart. One of them was there was a little boy that was lost. And we went out searching the streets. Yeah, he was a disabled teenager. And so we went out on the streets, knocking on doors, just all kinds of things that that they have us do.
How many are you in your little area there
that do search and rescue?
I think there's around 50 of us.
Wonderful.
For our, as far as the volunteers. And then you have the backcountry sheriffs.
Okay.
That are also, that lead the search and rescue.
Okay. And that was something I was going to talk about earlier. Do you buy, or is there like an insurance policy? Say, I'm going to go climb Mountain A. I'm going to buy $5, you buy an insurance policy or something to help defer the cost of a rescue. Is that a thing?
There are things out there that I'm aware of here in Idaho. The Idaho Mountain Rescue, they bill your medical insurance.
Okay. Okay.
So the person getting rescued does not get charged unless they obviously have a copay or things like that.
Right.
That's kind of how it works in Idaho. Okay. But there are insurances out there. I think Garmin sells them and things like that. Luckily my medical insurance through TRICARE would cover it if it's a medical emergency. If I was lost, then that would be a different story because it's not a medical issue. But then again, Idaho Mountain Rescue wouldn't charge for that if it was, you know, if I was lost or anything like that.
Have you ever been lost?
Never been lost. Just might have gotten turned around a little bit.
Okay.
Confused.
You got up the same path here a couple of times here, or the same trail, huh?
Yeah. I'm known for finding shortcuts. I'm very good at navigation, land navigation and things like that. As long as I have my cell phone, of course.
Right.
I have my cell phone. I can get myself out of anything. That's why I always carry an extra battery so I can keep it charged. If I didn't have my cell phone, I can usually get myself out because I have a pretty good sense of direction.
Now, does the cell phone work when you're up 11,000 feet or something? I mean, what carrier do you have?
I have Verizon, and I usually get a cell signal on every peak. I think there's only been one or two peaks that I haven't got a signal on.
Okay.
But going up to the peak in the canyons, there's no signal.
Right. Right.
It's only when you get to the summit.
Yeah. We have Verizon, and it drops us like 100 yards down the road.
Yeah,
here.
We have a couple of dead spots.
We have some dead spots by these lakes that we're on. But
yeah.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Well, I'm just amazed that you're doing this. Is there any big plans for something that's coming up that you're training for?
The goal I have for this year is to finish the last of the 11,000 foot peaks.
Okay. I was gonna say that's a lot of them, over 100.
And that's
wow.
And that's a tall order because I have 48 left.
Oh my gosh, you've done a lot then already.
You're doing one a week then.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at right now. Some of them can be strung together in one day, so that's, you know, that's pretty fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are really, you know, really long. I might have to overnight, things like that. And of course, there's still that one technical peak that we got to rope up on and things like that.
Yeah,
wow, Jason, that's amazing.
And so that's kind of what I'm working on for right now.
Yeah, that's a great goal. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you ever get, like when you're climbing a mountain, do you ever get like the false summits? Like you think I'm there and then you're like, oh crap, I got a long ways to go still.
Happens all the time. And I love to get out ahead when I'm almost at the summit And then I look back and I'll be like, oh no, it's way over there.
Yeah.
And I like to fool the people behind me into thinking that it's a lot further.
Right.
And then they get up there and they're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, they're like, I'm going to kill him. You know, yeah. I'm just going to
yeah, exactly.
push him over.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Just like, yeah. Yeah.
No. The look on their face sometimes is priceless when they think they're not at the summit.
Discouraging, oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, uh-huh. We're getting close to the end here, and we really appreciate you telling us about your adventure here. And we always end with two things. One of them is your You Betcha. That's the best thing about climbing mountains or a story or whatever, and then your hell no. So go ahead and start with the You Betcha, if you would, please.
I would say that the best thing about climbing, there's three things. It keeps me young.
Okay.
It keeps me fit. And it keeps me goal-oriented. I believe that those three things right there are what keeps me happy in retirement.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a great retirement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I didn't have those three things, I don't think I would enjoy retirement as much.
And you know, mountain climbing doesn't have to be the reason those three things happen. It can be anything, but you're right. Having a goal and having a purpose and being fit, all of those just really make retirement rock.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
We live pretty close to the highest point in Iowa. It's called Hawkeye Point. If you want to drive to our house, it will put you up and you can drive over to that. It's in this guy's backyard.
Yeah.
And so it's not that bad.
Most overpasses are bigger.
Yeah. I don't think they count those. Okay. How about a hell no? Your worst experience or worst thing about it?
Oh, my worst experience, probably Hindman Peak, Hindman.
Okay.
Hindman. I was coming off of that peak, and the boulders just want to roll everywhere, and I was just so frustrated that day. But I swore I would never go back to that peak. But I tell you what, if I went back, it wouldn't be as bad. I'm almost certain. It always seems like when I go back and do a peak again, it's always better than the first experience. But the boulders on that peak, and I rolled one over on top of my leg, and it was just a terrible, terrible day.
Like how big of boulders are we talking?
One of them, the one that rolled over my leg was pretty good size. If it would have pinned my leg, I would have been there for a while.
Oh, wow.
Till a couple people could have rolled it off of me. That's how big it was.
Yeah, which
is pretty good size. So
why you shouldn't hike by yourself, that Aaron Ralston who had to cut off his own arm.
Oh, wow, that was terrible.
I can see Jason Lee cuts off his leg.
Or just waits there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you hope your batteries are good on your cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, man, we want to thank you for joining us. This has been great.
What a great retirement.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you guys are, you know, you're hitting it. You're young. You've got so much to look forward to, and you got such great goals. Good job.
Yeah, this is going to keep you in fit when you get up in your 60s, 70s. I don't know how long you can do a thing like that.
Well, we just got done talking to, you know, two people that are that hike, and they're talking, you know, they hike big mountains too, and they're in their 70s, you know, so this is something you could do your whole life.
Uh-huh.
You know, so good job.
There's a mountain climbing guy in Idaho here, Tom Lopez. He's really famous here, and he's in his 70s and he's still climbing. So
Oh yeah,
it keeps hope to be like him one day.
Yeah,
you bet.
Oh yeah.
You bet.
All right, well, we want to thank you, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you.
Hey, you bet. All right,
talk bye-bye. To you later.
All right, bye.
Wow, that wraps up a great adventure.
Yeah, mountain climbing. Talk about getting in shape and staying in shape.
That is definitely, has always been on my list to do that at least just once, you know, to try to peak, to get to a mountain peak.
Well, we tried that one time, but we probably, he's smarter here going with the 11,000 footers.
I just,
like that.
I could not do the cold bath to get ready. Oh,
no,
my goodness.
No, I'm not, I don't like saunas, and there's no way you're getting me to do a cold bath.
Wow. That was really great, Jason. And I'm very, very thankful for you and your wife's service. So good job.
Yep. We appreciate you joining, and we appreciate our listeners, too. Thanks for joining us. We're always looking for guests, whatever their adventure is, whatever's keeping you inspired and going in your retirement.
That's right.
That's our whole goal.
And you can contact us. You can find us at
AdventureRetired@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, just AdventureRetired, all one word. You'll see us there.
We have a Facebook page. You can even message us there.
You can message us there. We're always looking for interviews.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's so fun to learn what other people are doing that make their retirement wonderful.
Yeah, and everybody's different. That's the cool part.
Yeah, I mean, how many of us can climb mountains like that, you know?
Yeah.
But somebody will be able to.
Yeah.
And somebody will be inspired by Jason, that's for sure.
You know, it's just like hobbies. Whatever trips your trigger might not trip my trigger.
That's right.
You got to find your thing in retirement that inspires you.
Yeah.
Kind of like our podcast.
Right. Don't forget to try some Sand and Sea coffee and tea. It's great.
Cindy likes that. And other than that, thank you. We appreciate you joining us. I love you, Cindy.
I love you more.